Storytel presents Ice and Fire by Margit Sonnemo, part 28 in the Legend of the Ice People series, narrated by me, Nina Indis. The Legend of the Ice People begins many centuries ago with Tengil the Evil. He was ruthless and greedy, and there was only one way to get everything that he wanted. He had to make a pact with the devil. He traveled far into the wilderness and summoned the devil with a magic potion that he had brewed in a pot. Tengil the Evil gained unlimited wealth and power, but in exchange, he cursed his own family. One of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil with evil deeds. When it was done, Tengil buried the pot. If anyone found it, the curse would be broken. So the curse was passed down through Tengil's descendants, the Ice People. One person in every generation was born with yellow cat's eyes, a sign of the curse and magical powers which they used to serve the devil. One day, the most powerful of all the cursed Ice People would be born. This is what the legend says. Nobody knows whether it is true, but in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which is why they called him Tengil the Good. This legend is about his family. Actually, it is mostly about the women in his family, the women who held the fate of the Ice People in their hands. Chapter 1. The sunset was a cool yellow under a shapeless mass of dark, leaden cloud. It was late in the evening and all colors had vanished from the landscape. Only in the west was the sky lit by that distant dim yellow that resembled highly polished brass.
"You should tread carefully here, Signe," said Belinda, who was always considerate towards her sister. "I can barely see the ground beneath my feet."
"Isn't it all topsy-turvy that you're telling me to be careful?" smiled Signe. "You're the one who's always falling over."
"Yes," answered Belinda, laughing with delight, not sensing the sarcasm in her sister's voice. "You're right."
Signe went on.
"Goodness, how late it got at the priest's house. He talks and talks, and you can't very well interrupt him. But we will soon be home at Elistrand."
She squeezed Belinda's arm, which she was holding to support herself.
"I'm so happy you've come to visit. I'm perfectly all right, of course, and Hadibert is a good husband in his own way, and his mother is also living with us. Yet still, it can be lonely sometimes."
Belinda was so grateful to be of some help to her sister. She let out a trembling sigh at the memory of Signe's wonderful wedding. Never before had she experienced anything so utterly beautiful or moving. Signe was the most beautiful bride imaginable, and Hadibert Abrahamsen had gazed at her with proud and loving eyes. And he was such a handsome man! Until now, Belinda had been convinced that there was no one good enough for Signe, but she couldn't have found a better husband. Belinda was completely happy for her sister. Nevertheless, she couldn't help feeling a slight sense of unease, which she couldn't quite put her finger on. Signe was doing well here at Elistrand, very well indeed, and Hadibert was extremely considerate towards her now that she was with child.
"We have to take good care of Signe, isn't that right, Belinda? We're expecting a little Mr. Abrahamsen, so nothing must happen to Signe."
It was a good thing that Hadibert's mother lived in the house too. She was a lonely widow, so she would be able to keep Signe company. It was true that she didn't appear all that often, but still, she lived there. That was the most important thing. Signe said,
"We just have to walk up that hill, then we'll be able to see Elistrand. Oh God, though, what's that?"
Both the sisters started. At the top of the hill, they could see a rider silhouetted against the deep yellow sunset. He had appeared out of the blue, and now he and his horse stood motionless. Belinda tried to get a glimpse.